Good morning and Merry Christmas, Happy Advent season to you. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are together again for another Advent devotional series in the Great Christmas Carols. It's Friday morning and we have the child, not in a manger, but in a floating pod. The Grogu. Okay, we are going to be digging into a great collaboration effort between Charles Wesley and George Whitefield and some others. That classic Christmas carol that we all know and love, Hark How All the Welkin Rings. You're not familiar with Hark How All the Welkin Rings? Well, that's what Charles Wesley originally had this hymn as, and others modified it over the years so that we have it today as Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us this time together. We thank you for your word, which reveals to us your Son, the Word of God incarnate, the one who came to save us. And we thank you for the angels, those faithful servants, messengers, who come to tell good news, who protect and defend your people, who serve those who are to inherit eternal life. We ask that you would help us to think about the coming of your Son into the world, the difference that makes to our lives, and how we can be your messengers to the world and herald the good news of the coming of the King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Hark, the herald angels sing. Originally written by Charles Wesley in 1739, the words were altered in 1753, and then music written by Felix Mendelssohn, great composer in 1840, was arranged for these words by William H. Cummings in 1856. So we get the present form of this great Christmas carol, really from the 1850s. And if you've been following along, you'll notice that a lot of these Christmas carols come from the 1850s and 60s. Charles Dickens published A Christmas Carol in 1843. And it was a runaway bestseller. And it kind of rekindled in the popular culture a desire to keep and celebrate Christmas. And so the Victorian Christmas celebration was born, which has so much of our modern sort of classic traditional Christmas comes from the Victorian age. And along with that comes a whole host of Christmas carols that were written in the 1850s and 60s. So in this case, this was an old hymn that Charles Wesley wrote in 1739, not necessarily as what we would think of as a Christmas carol, but rather as a hymn to celebrate the birth of Christ, and it was later sort of given a bit more festive music, which Mendelssohn had composed, and is now the famous Christmas carol that we sing. So it's kind of a development story. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. So that's a summary of the message that the angels brought. It's obviously not their exact words. We're going to look at those again in a minute. But that's a good summary of what it means. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth to men of his goodwill, mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The salvation comes in the reconciliation of God and sinners through the righteous one who takes our sin upon himself and who becomes our righteousness before God. Joyful all ye nations, rise. This is good news for all the people of God from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Angels rejoiced at the birth of Jesus Christ. They sang Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. And in heaven, the angels never stop rejoicing and worshiping around God's throne. So we're invited to join in the worship of those angels. And then the refrain, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb." Now, whenever we see "late" in a hymn, it doesn't mean that Jesus was late, like late for class. He should have been here by now. It means recently. Recently in time, he has come. So late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. What a profound, beautiful, glorious truth. This is the miracle of Christmas. This is the miracle of all miracles. It is astounding that God, the fullness of the Godhead, would become enfleshed. I'm going to be preaching about this on Sunday from Colossians chapter 1. In him, all the fullness of the deity was pleased to dwell. And what a glorious passage, Colossians 1, 15 to 23. We're going to be looking at this Sunday. But veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. He doesn't come as God to judge us, but as God to be with us, as God to save us. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. He's heaven-born. He's not born of natural conception. He's born by a miracle of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. This is from Malachi chapter 3. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in its wings. So this, you can tell this is written by someone who knows their Bible very well and who understands the theology of the incarnation. Mild he lays his glory by. This is Philippians 2. He emptied himself. He didn't stop becoming God or stop being God, but he laid his glory by. He set aside the privileges of his Godhead. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. So he's born into the world that we might be born again before God. What a powerful, powerful hymn. And as I said, there's a bit of a history to it. I don't know how well you can see this, but I snagged this, got a screenshot of it from the internet. And the original version, called Hymns for Christmas Day, Charles Wesley, 1739, "Hark, how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, universal nature say, Christ the Lord is born today." Now, universal nature, that is exactly what we see in Revelation 5, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, we looked at that in an earlier devotional, says, "Worthy is the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be honor and glory." But universal nature is kind of an odd expression, right? So that's been changed. If you go, the middle column is what George Whitefield came along in 1758. Now, what was interesting is that Charles Wesley, the Wesleys represented a sort of Arminian strain of Methodism, whereas George Whitefield represented the Calvinistic strain of Methodism. And John Wesley, Charles's brother John, and George Whitefield had a bit of a public feud. It was John Wesley who took it public. George Whitefield was trying to keep it private. But over the doctrines of grace, over what we might call Calvinism, Whitefield being much more of a believer in the doctrines of grace, that God is sovereign in salvation, that God saves, and John Wesley being much more in the sort of free will, people can choose or not choose, it's up to us kind of camp. And so they sort of had an exchange of words. But here we have a hymn that is a cooperation between a Wesley and George Whitefield. I think that's wonderful. But then it was further updated to the version that we have today, because you can see there have been some changes from Whitefield's adaptation to today. But essentially, Whitefield got all the words right. The biggest change, the biggest improvement is I cannot imagine a famous, well-known, passed-down-for-generations Christmas carol that starts with "How hark how all the welkin rings." All the welkin? That is all the heavens. It's an older English expression for all the heavens. But Herald Angels works better, even if some people do think that means the angel's name was Herald. Not really. All right, here's our scripture passage, Luke 2, 8-14. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So here is that good news. And the angels have a central role to play as messengers. Over the years, Christians have had quite a bit of confusion about angels. From the earliest days of Christianity, there have been Christians who have been tempted to worship angels, pray to angels, and that's not appropriate, because angels are messengers. They are heralds. They are warriors. They are protectors. They are servants. And Hebrews chapter 1 really makes this very, very clear. I lost my tab here. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Hebrews chapter 1. And this gives us a good corrective of the temptation to make more of angels than we should. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us about Jesus, and it says, picking up in verse 3, "After making purification for sins, he," that is Jesus, "sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." The focus of Christmas should not be on the angels, but on Jesus. Because Jesus is as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Continuing on, it says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? Or again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.' And again, when he brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.' Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning.'" So Jesus was the creator in the beginning. "And the heavens are the work of your hands." This is about the Lord Jesus. "They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" And that's what we see them doing on that Christmas morning. They come as ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. These shepherds get the good news. The good news is for all the people of God. It's not for the angels. These angels never rebelled. And there's no redemption for angels. Jesus doesn't come in the form of an angel. He comes in the form of a man to be Emmanuel, God with us, and to redeem men. So we should remember that. We should be so thankful that the angels brought the good news, but we should focus on the good news that they brought, which is the Savior, Christ the Lord, who is as far superior to the angels as the name he has inherited which is the Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, is higher than their name. And for that reason, we should not worship angels, but we should listen, hear the angels, and rejoice with them in the good news they bring of Christ, the newborn King. All right, let's do that. Let's sing together, Hark the Herald Angels. We're going to hear again from our own worship team at Forest Hill. This is again from our online worship service that was last Christmas Eve. This Christmas Eve, we're gathering in person for worship. So excited about that at 6:30. Let's sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Amen. What a wonderful, joyful way to celebrate the coming of the newborn King, the King of Kings, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We are going to be worshiping this Sunday morning at Forest Hill. We'd love to have you join us at 10:30. I'll be preaching on Colossians 1, 15 to 23. Our ongoing series is on Christmas according to the Apostle Paul, focusing on the incarnation, on God become man and the person of Christ. And our Christmas Eve service will be at 6:30, lots of traditional Christmas carols to sing, and our message that night will be from 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So we'll be talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in willingly becoming poor, so that through him we might become rich. That'll be our Christmas Eve message. We'd love to have you come out, even if you're just a visitor, to come visit one time. It's always nice to see people on Christmas Eve. And we will end the service, of course, by singing Silent Night by Candlelight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him to save us. Bless us in him this Christmas season. Help us to rejoice in our hearts and minds in him and him alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day in the Lord.